I think the biggest thing is for all of us is to be open to criticism. Number one, I think, yeah, as a coach, I do got to know, okay, this kid may not respond to being yelled at as much as this guy. But at the end of the day, everybody got to be open to criticism. And me as a person, as a coach, I got to be open to it. So I think, yeah, I'm going to change a little bit of who I am as a coach and try to become what you need me to be to help you. But at the same time, it's only so far I'm going, and you got to be open to this criticism that I'm giving you and how I'm going to give you, because I mean, when they get in the real world, they don't get to pick and choose how it's
coming. Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
Welcome, successors, to the Speak Your Success Podcast. I'm your host, TEDx speaker and bestselling author, Jonathan Jones. Today, we got a special guest in the studio. We got a champion in the studio. We're gonna introduce him in just 1 second. But before we get to our special guest, we want to come in and do the review of the week like we always do. And this review came from Young Carolina. And he said, "Goat. Honestly, watching the growth of this young man is incredible. It's nothing like watching God's plans come to work." And I have to just share, well, I have to just say a slight caveat. That's my cousin who wrote this review. But me and him grew up together in Atlanta, high school, middle school, all that great stuff. But man, his name is Rome Jeter on all social media. I just want to shout you out and say, man, thanks for listening, and thanks for even taking the time to do the review. And if you would like the opportunity to be the review of the week, then all you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts, scroll down to the bottom after you type in Speak Your Success, and then type in a review. We'd hope it'd be a 5-star review. No, 5-star. No. 5 stars, yeah. Never heard. Yeah, gotta be 5-star. Like Yo Gotti say, what, 5-star? I'm dating myself. Okay, anyway. So now we're gonna go ahead and get to today's guest. And man, we've known each other for a good little bit, huh?
Well, it's been 4 or 5 years, but I've known you in high school from playing, but didn't know you, you know.
Yeah, and then where'd you play college?
I played at Trinity Valley and I played at North Lake
also. Yeah, because I remember seeing you at North Lake when I was at Richland. Okay. Yeah. Hold on, wait, let me introduce you first. Let me introduce you. Okay. So now we're gonna introduce newly champion. I mean, you've been a champion before.
Yeah,
you know, high school, you know, you put the banner up, you got the ring on. Okay, yeah. Now just got another crown, if you will.
Yep, as a coach, assistant.
How does that feel? Does it feel different now that you've...
Yeah, it feels a lot different, because I tell everybody it's a lot harder when you're a coach, because at the end of the day, you can have your team prepared, but you can't go out there and hit a shot. You can't go out there and lock somebody up as bad as I want to sometimes.
you draw up the play, but you can't. Yeah. Okay, so now we want to introduce Coach Corey Johnson. He's the assistant varsity basketball coach at the Duncanville High School.
Yeah, the Duncan City of Champs.
how many championships have y'all won at Duncanville?
That was our fourth one on the boys' side. On the girls' side, how many do they have total? Ooh, it's up there like 6 or 7. Like,
Lord.
It may be more than that. I'm going to look today when I go to the school, and I'm going to text you.
I mean, I got to do is look up, see how many banners you can count, because that's crazy.
We got one national. They got a couple of nationals. So,
man.
Call the city of champions for a reason.
Okay. Oh, that's a real thing. I thought you were just saying that.
No. No, sir.
Oh.
that's a real thing. Yeah.
Wow.
City of champs.
Okay.
Yeah, that's our little slogan.
Okay, that's what's up, man. So now, like, okay, so well, I want you to take me back. I want you just to take me back a little bit, and I want you just to talk about, like, you being in high school before you won. Like, if you remember, you being in high school before y'all won that championship. Like, what was that like? Because today I want to focus a little bit just on like the mindset of a champion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think just me coming up in Duncanville. Anyways, my sister played back in the 90s. She played with Tamika Catchings. I'm sure you heard of Tamika.
Yeah.
So just growing up watching them go 40-0. Just like I said, Duncanville is called the City of Champs. Our boys, I watched them win the state championship. So that was always the expectation for me. Like I don't know anything else but the win. You know what I'm saying? That's what I seen growing up. So you know. I think the mindset before we won, we knew we were going to win my senior year. You know, my junior year, we end up losing to Plano in the second round. They end up going on to win it all. But my senior year, that hurt us so bad, we knew we was going in.
Okay. You winning was the only option.
Yeah.
And then now we want. So you were born in Duncanville?
I was born in Dallas, of course, and then I've been living in Duncanville pretty much my whole life. Most of my family from Benton Harbor, Michigan. Me and my sister was born here, but most of my other family is from Michigan. All moved down here mainly.
I didn't know that. So when did you first know that you wanted to play basketball?
I grew up playing basketball and football. So football was probably my first love.
Okay.
Me and weather don't get along well. I don't like being too cold. So, you know, I think just traveling with my sister to AAU tournaments and just being around it every single day, I'm the kid running on the court at halftime, shooting, getting in trouble. So, you know, it's love for it when you're around it like that. Just build a love.
Dang. I didn't even know you had an older sister.
Yeah. She coached at LSU, Oklahoma State.
Really?
Trinity Valley.
What's she doing now? She's still coaching?
She's the assistant principal at Corsicana High School. And her husband was the head coach at Navarro College, and now he's the AD. So,
man. Okay. So
I got basketball roots.
Yeah, I see. Born Dallas, Duncanville, and then just being around that environment, just like you said, winning was expected. Like, did you feel pressure with that, or was it more so of a challenge since you were just in that space? You were like, we know we need to win. We're going to win, so let's just put in the work.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me even personally, I come home every day and ask myself, did I max my day out almost? You know what I'm saying? Like, did I do everything I felt I could have done? But at the same time, you know, you got to have balance with that too. But I'm trying to get the most out every day most of the time.
And then when did that switch happen for you? Like you said, to where you're holding it? Because I know a lot of times it's easy for us to go through the motions. I know I've been guilty of this.
I get caught in it.
Yeah, just going through the motions, just rolling with life, you know, just like water, you know, just flowing down a stream. It's easy. But like when did you come to the place where it's like, hold on, wait, like I need to take control over my life. And I need to max out this day. I need to do this. I need to do that.
Well, I think you have different seasons. So, like, I think it was a point of time in college where, you know, I was kind of just going through the motions. And, I could have been doing a lot more. But then I think you surround yourself around the right people. Your core is always going to come back up. My sister is the big reason of the person I am today, my mom and my sister. So, you know, my sister always was a winner. She always worked hard, you know, so I grew up watching everything she done. She's probably the reason I'm a coach, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, just really following behind her, watching how hard she works. I mean, it ain't no other option when people come before you, you know. For me, it's not.
That's real. That's real. And now being on the other side, like you said before, you can't go out there and make a shot. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't pull up. You can't finger roll. You're like, oh, how you smoke that layup?
Yeah.
So now, how different is it now being on the other side of the spectrum and now to where you're in the position to where you can only encourage the players and you can give them the tools to be successful, but you can't be successful for them. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit. Like just like the shift. Talk about that.
I just think, I mean, of course, like from playing and then now coaching, I think you gotta let kids know, basically from my experiences, I gotta kind of try to guide you through this. And that's each of your kids that you have. So, you know, as far as like for me personally, I didn't really get it as far as working hard and basketball wise until probably my sophomore, junior year. So when we get freshmen in, you know, you gotta try to get them to see that light early and look, dude, if you get this and realize, like, dude, you don't understand your potential, and most kids don't. Most adults don't understand their potential. So to get a kid to understand their potential is tough. So that's what we battle with every single day. And, you know, they hearing their parents' side. They hearing their coach's side. You know, that's a battle that coaches are going through every single day. So,
And then with – with the one side of understanding your potential, well, them understanding their potential, which of course I know a lot of times is difficult to see, because even as, you know, when we're like our parents' children and they're growing us up and they're helping, you know, pour into us and try to mold us the right way. And they're like, but I see something in you. And you're like, but no, it looks like you're just trying to push me hard to work hard. And you're like, no, but I think you can really do whatever that thing might be. Now, I want you just to talk about like the difference of personalities, because one thing I realized when I played basketball on my team, that our coach understood that certain players he could talk to a certain way, or certain players had to be handled a certain way. Like, have you seen? Well, I know you've seen that, but like, talk a little bit about that. Just understanding how to manage the different personalities, because I know with freshmen through seniors, you got all different type personalities. You got all different. Just type individuals. Just talk about that. Like, how to differentiate between that and
that you got to see every day and be around each other every day, and y'all working towards the same goal, hopefully. But you know, I think the biggest thing is for all of us is to be open to criticism. Mm. Number one, I think, yeah, as a coach, I do got to know, okay, this kid may not respond to being yelled at as much as this guy, but at the end of the day, everybody got to be open to criticism. And me as a person, as a coach, I got to be open to it. So I think, yeah, I'm going to change a little bit of who I am as a coach and try to become what you need me to be to help you. Mm. But at the same time, it's only so far I'm going, and you got to be open to this criticism that I'm giving you and how I'm going to give you, because, I mean, when they get in the real world, they don't get to pick and choose how it's coming at them. Man. So, you know, I think you got to prepare kids for that.
So the kids coming to your program, do you think they're prepared to hear that, like, to be open to a criticism? Because even adults now,
I think go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead.
I'm finna say, I think most kids, 95-90% of them aren't prepared, you know what I'm saying, to hear the truth about them every single day. Like, and we tell them all the time, like, my job is to sit here and pick out the negative stuff about you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you the good stuff. I'm going to tell you I love you. I'm going to tell you all that. But most of the time, I'm telling you what you need to improve on. And it takes maturity for anybody, like I said, even an adult, to have to sit there and listen to that. So, I mean, that's big for grown-ups too.
Man, I think it's a really big level of maturity, because, well, I'm going to ask you, what's been the most difficult thing that somebody's told you that you had to change, like, through your course of life? You know, if it's been your wife, mm-hmm. if it's been your mom, if it's been your dad, if it's been a coach, you don't have to say who the person was. But I'm just curious, like, what's been something that somebody's told you? They're like, Corey, man, you need to change this, but you didn't want to hear it.
Well, I think growing up, I had an attitude problem. Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest thing. And then lately, even as an adult, you know, my wife done told me this before, like, I overtalk people sometimes. So I'm making a conscious effort every single day to, like, sit here and just listen to a person completely done talking, and then let me say what I got to say. You know, so, and it's hard sometimes, you know. Man. So, but I'm trying to change that, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes, like you said, a mature individual to understand that, but also understanding that we can't grow as people if we never listen to any, especially the people that we have in our lives who are in those, like, basically, like I heard somebody once say, like, the people who we allow to be our board of directors, mm-hmm. just like, you know, any business, nonprofit, stuff like that.
Yeah,
those individuals, we've selected those individuals to be in those positions, and then sometimes they share insight or share feedback, and we're like, no, I'm not trying to hear that. Yeah, right. Yeah. Now I'm good. No, I'm good. Don't worry about it. You don't gotta. No. And then we allow ourselves to stop growing, because I've been guilty. Uh-huh. I've been guilty too many times where I've been told certain things, and then I didn't want to change some of those things. One of the most current examples. Well, this is one I eventually changed. But when I went down to A&M, my girlfriend came down to A&M with me. Gabby, you know Gabby, yeah. Concord. You probably seen you've seen it. I'll show you. But you've seen it. But went down to A&M, and then, like, I prepared. I had my presentation ready to go. And you know how it is. Like, when you get everything together and you're ready to rock, and I'm like, okay, I feel good about this. You know, you got the game plan. Like, well, I feel good about this. But she was like, yeah, you might want to change this. But what about this? And I was like, okay, I'm presenting tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
I'm presenting tomorrow. And then I went back and then I did what I needed to do. And then I feel like it actually came out better than I planned for. Mm-hmm. So it was just making that change. But now I want you to just talk about like the preparation, the level of preparation, because you're you know, you're the assistant varsity coach, you have a wife. How much preparation does it take to be successful?
I think a lot. I think, of course, if we're talking about coaching and personal, I think personally, every day you got to wake up with something to fix about yourself. Like, you know, for me, a big thing for me right now is listening to a sermon every single day. Mm. And, of course, I got a relationship with God. I got a relationship with Jesus. But also for me, it's about just hearing good stuff, you know, instead of just turning on rap music. First thing in the morning, I'm hearing this and that, which I gotta have that in part of my day too. But you know, every single day I gotta have a good word in me. I feel like,
yeah, that's good, because I mean, if we don't prepare, like, because there have been some times where I've stepped up to do a presentation and I either didn't prepare the way I wanted to, or I just said, let me just see how it goes.
Well, let me say this. I would say, and then on the basketball side, mm-hmm. even like preparing in the playoffs, like it's so many nights I probably was up. I mean, for instance, let's say that we won a semifinal game. Uh-huh. It played at 7:30, I want to say. Took the boys to get something to eat. And I was up all night watching film before the championship game. So I had probably like 5-6 weeks of just every single day so much film to watch. And I think you got to be prepared, because when you prepare, you're comfortable. You know what I'm saying? You got a level of comfort, you know. So, yes, things are going to change, but for the most part, you know what to expect. You should be prepared for it. And you should even have counters for when stuff don't go your way. And I look at that in business and personal life, everything. So, I think, you know, coaching apply to pretty much every area of life.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you're not, because like you said, when you prepare, you have a certain level of comfort, and then you can counter. If you don't prepare, you don't even have the first line of defense, because countering, I think, is the second line of defense. But if you don't prepare, then that's out the window. And then somebody hits you with something that you didn't expect, and like, oh, well, what do we do? We don't know what to.
When you don't prepare, I think you don't care enough. Mm. And if you're going against me in anything, you better prepare, I feel like.
Wow. You said if you don't prepare, you don't care enough.
That's how I feel.
What would you say to somebody who says that they, like, I mean, let's just say if it's not even an athlete. Let's just say if somebody with the business, but they're going into something, but they're like, man, I didn't have time to prepare. What do you say to that person?
It wasn't important enough to you. We can carve out time for anything we want to do. And, you know, that's another thing that every single day, time management. You know what I'm saying? I think it's important to have your free time to where you're not doing nothing. I'm big on that. I tell my wife that all the time. Like, you got to chill out. Like, she worked, you know what I'm saying? You got to chill out. But, you know what I'm saying? You got to make time for the important stuff, too. Mm. And if a person don't, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I did an episode a few episodes back. I was talking about why so serious, talking about how I was always the individual who took everything so serious, and I didn't really take time out. But now I'm taking time to relax, and every once in a while I'll turn on TV, I'll eat lunch, I watch like an episode of a show or something like that. But I've seen that you do take time, because I've seen you on the beach. Well, you know,
I think you'll burn yourself out if you don't. Like, I can work 16-hour days like it's nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I'm going to chill on certain days. On Sundays, I'm chilling, most likely. You know, so, you know, you gotta balance.
Have you always been you always been that individual to learn to take time off, or you had to get pushed into that?
Well, I think coming up playing summer basketball and basketball being year round, when I stopped playing in college, I kind of realized how much free time I had, and I'm like, man, we was missing Easter. We was missing, like, we was at a tournament every weekend.
That is true.
So when you got free time on your hand, you're able to think and stuff slow down a little bit. So why not do that every single day in a way if you can?
Fair enough. Man, basketball does consume your life. And it, even if we eliminate basketball and put whatever there, because if you're an entrepreneur, the business can, will consume your life. You have a nonprofit, that'll consume your life. Anything I think that we're passionate about, if we're not careful, will consume our life. But then we have to just make sure to take time and make priorities for the other things.
Because I think it's seasons where it should consume your life. And then it's seasons to where you got to know, like somebody asked me yesterday, like, I'm surprised you don't coach summer basketball. I'm like, I couldn't give my all to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I go so hard on my school team. How could I come to the summer and give my all in too? Like, I don't want to do that.
That's a lot of time. That's a lot. I don't think your wife would be too happy about that.
Well, I'm still gonna be at the summer game.
Well, yeah, I might like not, but being at the game and coaching, you know, that's two totally different things.
Yeah, I cut out
that preparation, that scouting report, and like all the just. Man, that's a lot.
Playing three games in one day. Like, I think it's good. It's a great thing. It's just it's hard for me to do both.
Seasons. Man, seasons definitely the name of the game. Man, I'm just trying to. Okay, I'm trying to break you. I'm trying to break you, Coach Corey. I'm trying to break you.
Man, this dude got me on a podcast, man.
I'm trying to break you.
You up almost to 12,000 followers, man. You getting
it. Oh, man, watch out, man. Hey, nobody count that, man. Man, but I want you to okay. Here we go. I want you just to share, because with this podcast, I know you listen, but with the podcast, the general focus. I always want to be able to bring in people with different perspectives, but I want people to one, hear, know, and understand people's stories, like their struggles, and just like transparency. I know before you talking about if you say anything too crazy, you know, we're gonna have to cut it out. But I know we're not gonna get there. But I always want people to know that once they walk away, you know, that they took something with them. Like, I like to give people like tangible strategies. What is one strategy, like through your life, through your course of life, that you've seen to be really beneficial for you? Like, if it's been, yeah, I'm gonna let you just take that.
Well, I think, of course, RIP Nipsey Hussle. I'm sure everybody, you know, you've been seeing everybody post. But,
man,
you know, we've been running through the interviews and stuff like that. And I've been a fan even before he passed. But he had one where he said, the only difference between me and everybody else is I just didn't quit. You know what I'm saying? And when I look at my story, it's pretty much the same way. And that's for anybody. It's just about being consistent. Like, my story, I done been to 5 different colleges.
You went to 5 different colleges?
Yes, that's crazy.
No, you didn't go to 5.
No, I went to one, like, one a semester, had to transfer to another. Like, my college story is crazy. I felt like I could have quit and never got my degree. So, you know.
I didn't know you went to 5. Well, it was just different thing, different reasons?
Well, at Trinity Valley.
Talk about it. Talk about it to the people.
At Trinity Valley, my freshman year, I ended up having an appendix surgery, kind of doing almost the middle of the year. So, I mean, like, I almost died, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I had emergency surgery with that, and that kind of took a toll on me basketball-wise. And then even when I came back, I broke my wrist. So, after that year, that's my freshman year, after that year, I transferred to Northlake. Mm-hmm. Ended up getting a medical red shirt. So, as a basketball, I'm a freshman. But in school, I'm a sophomore or whatever. So, got off track a little bit, I feel like. You know, hanging out with the wrong people maybe a little bit too much, not really focused on everything. My GPA actually dropped a little bit. I didn't like flunk out or nothing, but it dropped.
Okay.
It dropped enough to where I don't think I could get financial aid anymore. So, and that's actually the year we started talking. So I played at Northlake that year. The next year, remember I had a medical red shirt. My second basketball year, I transferred to Navarro. You know what I'm saying? I had slipped up in my classes a little bit, so I'm finishing trying to work up to my associates. Mm. So anyway, I go to Navarro for a semester, end up transferring back to Mountain View the second semester.
You went to Mountain View? I didn't know you was at Mountain View.
For a semester, just to finish some classes. And at that point, I knew my basketball career was over, and I knew I wanted to coach ever since I was in high school. So my last 2 years of college, I transferred to U of H. Took my major as a sports administration and minored in health, and driving back and forth to A&M every weekend for her. That was my life pretty much. U of H for 2 years and A&M.
I did not know you was, I did not know, Lord.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot, ain't it?
Goodness. Well, what was your reason for not quitting? Like, what was the reason for you not being like, okay, I'm done. Like, I quit school, I quit basketball, I quit life. Like, what was the reason you just didn't tap out?
Well, I think I'm just honest with myself. At some point, when it came to the point I knew I wasn't playing basketball no more, or I'm kind of wasting my time with it. I think some people waste their time with it. And I'm like, in high school, I knew I was going to be a coach. So I used to tell my homeboys that. Like, I'm a coach. I know I am.
How did you know that, like, in high school?
Because I loved it. Even as a player, like, I feel like I was a coach on the floor. Like, I'm going to be that person talking. I'm going to get my team ready. It's just, you know, I think I'm a leader, really, honestly.
Man, well, I mean, that's some crazy. And then now seeing yourself as a coach, like, this is just, like, you knew this was inevitable.
Well, I knew I was going to coach, but I always thought I would only be a college coach. I never in my life thought I would be a high school coach. Never thought about it.
What separates it? Because I've actually heard that college coaches actually sometimes have more free time than high school coaches.
College coaches, to me, I think college coaches, you got probably more money, less time with your family. Mm. High school, you got less money. More time with your family, and you got to teach a class. So, depending on what class you got to teach. So, okay. you know, for me, I'm in it because I love basketball and I love kids, and you know, so. And basketball for me has got me everything I have.
Okay, so I'm curious just to hear, like, when your time is done as coaching, I know it's gonna be years and years and years down the road. What do you want to walk away from coaching saying or being able to say that you accomplished?
Honestly, man, I see the bigger picture. And I mean, I love basketball. I love coaching. But that's really, to me, that's kind of like the gift God has gotten me to kind of meet people and kind of interact and build relationships and stuff like that. But for me, it's bigger than coaching. Like, more than anything, I want to be an entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? We want to own our own gym.
Nice.
I want to get in real estate at one point. I want to really get in the organic vegetable garden. So I got a lot of stuff that I want to do. Coaching is just, you know, is what I'm really good at and what I love.
Man, yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know you wanted to do all that.
Okay. You know, so.
Cooking. You know that cooking. Okay.
Well, I'm going to let her cook, and I just want to grow organic vegetables. I think we should get back to growing our own food, so.
Okay. And then when I know you've been building, I know you continuing to build, I know y'all continuing to build, but I know when you do, just, you know, just do what you need to do, I know you're going to be successful just with the resilience and just with those transferable skills that you've put into the game of basketball, and then once you just extract that and then just put it wherever, I know.
I can see myself coaching about in my 50s maybe, but yeah, you know,
easy.
You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. We'll see.
Just, you know, whatever God takes me. I try not to plan out too much stuff ahead, and I used to, like, it's funny because I was watching Marcus' interview, and he was talking about setting out goals, and every year I used to do that, set out goals, and I think a lot of people need to do that, but for me, I kind of know where I want to be, but I also know I don't have a lot of control over it, so I kind of just, I try to put myself in position for when opportunities do come, wherever they come from or what kind.
I mean, I think that's real. I think more people need to do that because I think there's, like we talked about earlier, I think there's one level of preparation to where, like, you put things in place. Like, if somebody's doing a nonprofit, they get the 501c3. People start saving up to get a home eventually. Like, there's certain steps that we are supposed to take to prepare ourselves for when the right time for the opportunity comes. But some people don't even take those first steps. Yeah. They just like, oh, no, I'm going to get a house. How are you going to get a house? Well, I mean, I'm going to buy it. Well, okay, but with what money? You're going to start a nonprofit. How are you going to start a nonprofit? Like, I mean, I want to start one. You know, you got to do a lot of paperwork for that, right? And it takes time, and you got to go through the process, and you meet with the people of the city, and you do all these things.
Took me forever.
And man, I think, man, it takes some time. It takes some time. I haven't done it yet, but my mom showed me the paperwork. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to hold off for a second.
Yeah, it take a lot of time, but,
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to go ahead and transition. And this is a segment I like to call Five words. Okay. So
I told this dude, man, I'm a coach. I scout. I watched the podcast. I was ready.
Hey, I'm not mad about it. I'm not going to penalize you for being prepared, brother. I'm not mad about it. So five words. You've seen the podcast. Anybody who this might be your first time listening or watching the podcast, five words is where I give the guest the opportunity to describe themselves in five words. So please.
My five words is God, family, real, love, and peace.
If you want, you can elaborate on those now. Because you put the five words out there.
I just think God, number one, period. That's number one in my life. You know what I'm saying? Nothing comes before God for me. And then my family, of course, is going to be second. You know, I'm big on family. I'm close to pretty much most of my family. Real, since I was a kid, a big thing for me is to be authentic with people. You know, when I do leave, I want people to be able to say, you know, he was real with me. He was honest. I might didn't like him, but he kept it 100 with me. You know what I'm saying? And then love, I mean, everybody want love. I mean, I don't care if you're the hardest dude in the world, who don't want to be loved. I think that's love, true. I think Jesus is love. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, love is what we all need, love. And then peace, man, who don't want peace? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, go ahead.
To me, peace is the best thing ever. And we talk about that all the time. We want a marriage with peace. Like, we want to be able to, like, chill. Like, we don't want to be arguing all the time. And I want peace in every facet of my life, at the job, at work, everything. So, people I hang around with, you know. So
that's fair.
I think mentally that keep you right.
Man, yeah. If you don't have peace, then you have some problems. And if you have peace, you might want to reevaluate some things.
Most people don't have peace, I feel like.
Definitely. And I don't believe, well, you can be successful without peace, but I think it makes it so much harder.
Is it worth it?
Ooh. I mean, you can ask people the same thing about some relationships.
No, but it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not.
No, it's not. I can tell you that. Nah, man. Nope. Gotta have that peace, man.
Because, I mean, that's...
It ain't going to be peaceful 100% of the time.
Of course not. Of course not.
Man, give me 75. Give me 75.
Yeah, I'd definitely take 75 there any day. I mean, that'd be one place where I would gladly take that C. I would take a C right there. Yeah. Well, if, I don't know, is C still 75? I know they changed the grading scale.
C plus, probably 75.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Just making sure.
I got P, man.
So now we're gonna do the Winner's Circle of the Week segment. And the Winner's Circle of the Week is the opportunity for you to spotlight somebody that you might feel is flying under the radar, to where other people maybe have not seen this particular individual, but you see the work ethic and you're like, I just want to give you, you know, the hats off. I want to tell you, keep going and keep grinding it out because I believe in what you're doing. So now, your winner circle.
My winner circle is going to go to my wife, Maya Johnson, of course, go by MJ, training with MJ. To me, she's one of the best trainers in Dallas. She's an athletic trainer at Duncanville. She's also a personal trainer, and then also she does meal prepping. So she's also certified in yoga. So me just seeing her navigate through all of this and through the last 10 years we've been together, I don't know anybody that works harder than her. Nobody.
She work harder than you?
I don't know anybody that works harder than her.
She work harder than you?
Yeah, way harder than me.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's my winner circle, people.
Man.
That's why I can't let up.
Dang.
She out here getting it.
She got her foot on your neck.
Yeah, she got her foot on my neck.
Oh, man.
Waking me up, huh? Sure.
Oh, wow.
I really
love that. I didn't know. You certified in yoga? Yoga ain't nothing to play. I used to laugh at people who did yoga at first. I used to laugh.
I need it.
Man, yoga is next level.
I need it. I got to have it.
Yoga is next level. Every time, you know, they say lay on the mat and relax, I always fall asleep.
I mean, that's good, though.
Yeah, that's that piece. Man.
And then, bro, as you get older, the biggest thing for adults is staying flexible. And then that's one time where you can actually sit there and think to yourself.
Man.
So if you don't meditate or anything, doing yoga, that's the time where you got to just think and breathe and try to control your breathing. And you kind of value how breathing is. I mean, like to take air in, you value that.
Yeah, well, that's
too deep.
Man, huh? What you
say? I don't want to get too deep.
Nah, I mean, I think sometimes we miss out on the best things in life because we don't value the small moments.
Yeah, we don't. And we are guilty of that.
So guilty. So guilty. Because I was driving over here today, and I was driving through this rain, and I was like, man, it just threw me up. The rain just threw me up. But just understanding, like, I still had transportation to get over here.
Yep. Appreciate you for coming through too, man.
Yeah, man.
He sent me the schedule, and I'm like, man, I must be the first coach. He got school hours on here. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, I can't do that.
I'm just trying to get organized, man, because I realized that like planning out like interviews and and then it falls through. People click it, they put it through. That helps me with my life. I've realized now that if I don't put things in order a certain way, then it won't get done the way it needs to get done.
Bro, it's legit. I've been nervous since I found out. Yeah. Since you texted me about a month ago, I've been nervous, bro.
What? Nervous about what?
Nah, you got a big following, bro.
Oh, man. Come on, man. We out
doing
here,
doing your
man.
Thing. Best-selling author.
Oh, Lord. Man, I'm interviewing you, man. What are you doing? I'm interviewing him. Come on, man. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to get her information down in the show notes.
Okay.
Because we're in Dallas, and you're open to training. Okay, open the train. Cause I mean, okay. So everybody trying to get their summer body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit her up, trying to get your meal right.
Yeah, and pretty much only serious people really, you know, normally mess with us. So.
Oh, are you like that intense? Are you just saying y'all just saying?
Nah, like, I mean like people who gonna stick with it and actually
follow through.
Follow through. I don't like that. 2 days and then say I train with it.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. But I mean I like y'all's whole dynamic because you a coach, she a coach, y'all got the meal prep happening, the preparation, and y'all ready to attack the world, man. Y'all gonna take the whole physical fitness arena, the coaching. Y'all gonna just take it over, huh?
Yeah, we're trying to this health thing. That's a big thing for me. That's why I was a minor in college. I'm big on health. I think that was our calling as a marriage. I feel like that was almost my calling as a person. So, I mean, I ain't the healthiest person in the world, but it's a lot of stuff we got to change as people. I think I'm going to help with that.
Are you vegan?
No, I could go vegan. She's vegan now. She's not considered vegan.
So you're vegan-ish?
So, I try to do the least. Well, I don't do no meat. Okay.
Okay.
It's easy, bro. It's the food. I could do it easily.
That's real. And it. Well, I wanted to ask y'all that because I was watching an interview with Kevin Hart the other day, and I saw that he's getting ready to do like a supplement line. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. I was. I mean, some of the interviews. Some of the interviews after, if I watch them on YouTube, I'll do it to where I can watch it a little bit faster. Because his Joe Rogan's interviews are long. But, yeah, they're long. But just listening to him talk about, like, how your body, or you're your best product. So he said, as he's doing the supplements, he's taking them himself so that people can see the results that he gets. And then, you know, of course, they're gonna go ahead and get it.
I think it's crazy to me that people will go buy shoes that cost $1,000, $800, but you won't eat really, really, really good food. Like I hear people all the time, like, I ain't paying that much for it.
That's real.
Like, you are crazy. I'm a cash out for my food if I don't cash out for nothing else.
I mean, because I think we get so caught up, and I say we, I'm talking about people as a whole. I know it's dangerous, but I'm talking about people as a whole. But we get so caught up. Well, I'll talk about our culture. I'll talk about our culture. We get caught up in the right now, like in the flash right now. I'm going to get these shoes because you're going to see them on my feet when I walk out of here right now, even though we're going to put them back in the box and not wear them for like 2 months later, as opposed to investing in healthier options as far as food and going that route. Because when we take that route, then we won't end up at the doctor's office at the end of our life. And we're now having to pay twice as much, four times as much, because we weren't conscious with what we're eating, what we're putting into our body.
And that stuff come back on you. We before you know it, we be 45. And
man,
I don't think people realize, like, man, like, it's a marathon for real. Like, it's really a marathon from the point where you a kid to an adult, and the stuff that you've been eating is dictating how your body is reacting and what type of health you in. Now, being just completely healthy don't guarantee anything, but why not try to feel it the best way you can while you are here?
Yeah, no, that's real. That's real. That's
I can't
real.
Wait. Like, when I do have kids, like, bro, they gonna get the real deal. I wish my people would have knew what we know.
Man, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there to know, and we can be ignorant to it and just ignore it and just move past it if we want. But like I was saying before, my lady, she's like, yeah, go ahead, eat whatever you want to now, because once we get married, you ain't gonna be on that.
And bro, you're not gonna miss it. Like, even when I eat cooked meals pretty much all through the week, but on the weekends, I go to a restaurant, I'm still eating really good. The difference is my cheat meal is letting the restaurant cook it.
So that's fair. That's fair. Okay, so now we're gonna now we're gonna go to this or that. In this segment here, it's called This or That. We want to have a little bit of fun, cool. And I'm just gonna give you a couple of rapid fire questions, and you just say. So I say, Coke or Pepsi. And then you say?
Neither. No, I'm messing with the Coke. I got you. I'm going to say
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just there's going to be a couple of questions. It's going to be just rapid fire action, but it's going to be a little bit of fun. Without further ado. Beaches or mountains?
Beaches.
Waffles or pancakes?
Pancakes.
Baths or showers?
Showers. I'm not taking a bath.
You ain't never took no ice bath?
No, sir.
You never took an ice bath?
No, sir. I feel sorry for my kids.
Are you serious?
I feel sorry for my kids.
I used to take ice baths before games.
Never have.
Really?
I don't like supplements. I don't like pre-workouts. No.
But ice bath?
I don't like nothing that... Mentally, I don't want that type of stuff.
I see what you're saying. I can understand. So when you work out, you listen to music, though?
Yeah, but if I'm really trying to test myself mentally, I run without music, or ooh, that's the toughest thing.
I heard somebody, I think it was like a Joe Rogan interview. Somebody was interviewing a guy named David Goggins. Mm-hmm. You heard David Goggins?
Uh-uh.
Shh, man, that dude there. You want to talk about mental toughness?
Whole
nother level. Yeah, I'm gonna have to like write a paper to
I'm
get
trying
to
learn,
you.
Bro.
But yeah, he on a whole nother level. He said, what? I don't listen to music when I work out? No. He said, that's crazy. He set a pull-up record. It was something crazy. It was like something, so many thousand pull-ups they did. And he said he had the same like Rocky beat just playing over and over and over and over and over and over for like some crazy amount. I want to say it was 24 hours, but it was something crazy.
You got to talk to yourself through it.
He on a whole nother level. Like, if I want to feel bad about myself, mm-hmm. Let me just listen to David Goggin interview. He crazy, bro. He crazy.
Make sure I get his information for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I get that for you. Okay. Summer or winter?
Summer.
Okay. We done.
Summer.
Come on. You say that because you fit. You want to walk around with no shirt on. That's why. Because y'all out here, man. Y'all just, man. That's why you. Y'all look ready for summer, man. I'm about to buy y'all some sweaters.
Ain't no getting ready. We stay ready.
I'm about to play with y'all. Nah, man. Because I remember you came, I don't know where you came. I think it was like a Bible study one more. You had on sleeves. I said, come on, man. Put them things away,
man.
Oh,
yeah, the early morning
Bible study.
I said,
come
on,
bro.
That's where I first met you at, right?
Yeah. I was like, come on, man. Get out of here.
Might have been Bible study, 33.
I said, let me go to the bathroom and hit some push-ups right now.
Man, stop it, man. Hey, I'm little, but I'm big, though. That's what I tell everybody. I'm little, but I'm big, though.
Oh, man. This was fun. So now we're about to get ready to get out of here, man. But now I want to just give you the mic. Give you the opportunity just to share your final thought, just a word to encourage the people, your favorite quote, whatever, but take some time, man, just share what you want with the people.
My favorite quote is, and I got it on my email for work and personal, is faith it till you make it. So, you know, like I'm all about being real, like I said, and when I read that, I don't even remember who quote that is, but when I read that, I'm like, faith it till you make it. And I probably read that about 15 years ago, man. It stuck with me since then. So I always think about that. I got to faith it till I make it. Like, I got to believe in what God got for me, and, you know, until I make it. And then, honestly, I asked myself the other day, I'm like, what is making it? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's continuous.
Man,
bro, so
marathon.
That can push me forever. Faith it till I make it.